To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a bird's eye view of light green springtime treetops and what I believe to be the Hudson River and the Berkshire Mountains in the distance comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who shared this scene on social media on or around April 25th, 2021. If this photo is yours, let me know, and I'll update the blog after the fact to give you the credit you so richly deserve. Well, it's Tuesday, and as I continue the campaign to free long-lost and forgotten photos from my iPhone's photo archive, I am rejoicing over the completion of another online Freedom in Christ course, as springtime freedom season is drawing to a close. I would say that it's over and done with, but I and a few of the men still have unfinished business with the Lord, as three of the participants are scheduled to have their guided tour into repentance by going through the steps to freedom in Christ by the end of next week. But last night, we closed the books on our group's Zoom meetings and on the final lesson of the Freedom in Christ course, What's Next?, which focused on redefining the terms of what it means to be successful, significant, fulfilled, satisfied, happy, etc., according to who we are in Christ, and not as the world has deceived us into believing. It's a really good teaching, and I have decided to share the summary here this morning by listing God's guidelines for the walk of faith. And the first guideline is, success comes from having the right goals. Success is accepting God's goals for our lives and by His grace becoming what He has called us to be. You know, our goal is to become the person God created us to be. Significance comes from the proper use of time. What is forgotten in time is of little significance. What is remembered for eternity is of the greatest significance. So what we do for the kingdom is the most important thing that we could do on earth. Fulfillment comes from serving others. Fulfillment is discovering our own uniqueness in Christ and using our gifts to build others up and glorify the Lord. Yeah, we're supposed to serve others. And that's where we find our fulfillment. Satisfaction comes from living a quality life. Satisfaction is living righteously and seeking to raise the quality of our relationships and the things we do. Yeah, there's nothing more satisfying than living a righteous life and having quality time in our relationships. And then next is happiness comes from wanting what we have. Happiness is being thankful for what we do have rather than focusing on what we don't have, because happy are the people who want what they have. And contentment. Be happy with what you have and not, you know, striving after things you don't. The next, fun comes from enjoying life moment by moment. The secret is to remove unbiblical hindrances, such as keeping up appearances. Yeah, fun is found in spontaneity and not caring what anyone else thinks. Now, it doesn't mean having an unrighteous life. It just means not being stifled by the opinions of man, living free and joyously before the Lord. Next is security comes from focusing on eternal values. Insecurity comes when we depend on things that will pass away rather than things that will last forever. Yeah. We never know what's going to come our way in life. You know, we can be rich and have everything lost overnight. But the thing that lasts forever is our relationship with the Lord. That's where we find our security in our eternal values. And finally, peace comes from quieting the inner storm. The peace of God is internal, not external. And when we abide in Christ and know in our hearts that God accepts us because of our faith in Jesus, that's where we find peace. So no one can calm the storm and give us peace like Jesus. When we start living according to these guidelines for a life of faith, we discover the great benefits when we draw close to God and surrender to His will for our lives. It's Holy Week, and it's a great time to draw close to God in this season of Lent. And speaking of Lent, It's the 36th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. And this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional, it's our hope that we'll get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday. And we're one day closer with Journey Day 36, where Martin Luther writes, "But deliver us from evil. What is this? Answer, we ask in this prayer, as in this summary, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all kinds of evil, affecting body or soul, property or reputation, and at last, when our final hour comes, may grant us a blessed end, and take us by grace from this valley of tears to himself in heaven. This petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom, poverty, disgrace, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is so incalculably much on earth. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray without ceasing against this arch enemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour." That was Martin Luther. And the biblical wisdom they pair with that is 1 John 4:4, which says, "For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." At this point, our devotion asks us to sit silently in meditation. So if you'd like, take a pause and sit for a few minutes and contemplate what Martin Luther is telling us in today's passage and what 1 John 4:4 tells us. And after you're done meditating, we can go to the questions to ponder. And the first of which is, if God in Christ is the victor, what should the Christian's attitude toward evil or Satan be? Our attitude should be that Satan is a defeated foe and that his days are numbered. Scoreboard, right? Yeah, we win. The Word of God tells us that Satan's ultimate destiny is in the lake of fire, and try as he might to show his power on earth through temptation and evil works, he will pay for his crimes. As we should rejoice, that we as Christians are protected from him when we act in the power and authority of Christ, of what Christ has given us, by knowing who we are in Christ, putting on the whole armor of God, and following Jesus with the way we live our lives, by abiding in God's presence and living for his kingdom. The next question asks, how should the Christian's attitude toward evil be translated into action? James tells us to submit to God and resist the devil. Our attitude should translate into our personal repentance and sanctification, and our serving God's kingdom through good works and sharing the gospel. The next question is, although Luther saw a terrible conflict going on between Christ and the devil, or evil, would he advise us to flee the world? Why or why not? Luther's history indicates that he would not tell us to flee the world. His time as a monk was fleeing the world, but after Luther was blessed to have the truth of the five solas revealed to him, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, and the other two, the grace alone, and I forget the other one, or is it four solas? Oh boy, forgive me. He left the monastery and encouraged others to live out their Christian faith in whatever vocation of the world they were in. Faith wasn't for a few select sacrificing and suffering super saints. A life of faith is for everyone who puts their faith in Jesus. Luther's comments above admit to the harsh realities of life, but instead of telling us to flee them, he encourages us to pray through them. Then that moves us on to the psalm fragment for today, which is Psalm 64, 1, which says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread enemy." And we move along to the journal reflections, which tells us to reflect on your own experience or friends in which you felt oppressed or attacked by Satan or evil. What spiritual resources were you able to bring to the experience? What happened? The early days of my born-again life were marked by a constant struggle between temptation and truth. I was an attack of the enemy. I was double-minded and unstable in all my ways, believing that I could continue in my fleshly, selfish, and sinful ways and merely claim the forgiveness of Jesus and carry on, my wayward son. But there was no peace in it. Peace comes from walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Thankfully, I was encouraged by the Word of God and other Christians to stop the insanity of double-mindedness, and I made the decision to surrender to God's will for my life, to repent and to be sanctified. Prayer, Bible study, Bible college, church services, service in the church, Christian books, podcasts, lessons, teachings, and fellowship were the resources that the Holy Spirit guided me into that helped to change my life. And the next prompting is think about some problem you are facing. How might this knowledge that God is supporting you change the way you deal with this problem? Right now I have a problem that is beyond my control, and knowing that God is supporting me is a tremendous relief. Trusting that the Lord will help me to face whatever happens gives me peace. Instead of being consumed with worry over things I can't change, I focus on the good that I have and pray for the Lord to take care of the things I can't control. So, yeah, there's so much good in your life. And when we have a problem that is beyond our control, that hits us personally, you know, the tendency is to focus on that one problem, and it consumes us. It consumes our thoughts and our emotions, and it distracts us from all the other good in our life. And while we shouldn't necessarily ignore it, we could focus on the good to the exception of the evil and, you know, pretend everything's okay. That's an extreme that we should try to avoid. Instead, we should do all we can for that problem. Keep an eye on it. Act accordingly, stay up to date on it, and try to do what you can with it, but at the same time, not let it consume you. It's a balance of walking by faith and being proactive to solve problems, but when the problems involve other people, we might have to draw in close relationally or take a step back, and that'll be dictated by what the other person allows you to do in their life, allows you to speak hope into their life, or allows you to help them. Then there's those who would drag you in and try to consume you by their problem. Where they grab a hold and don't let go. We have to find balance in these things, and the Lord provides it, so we have to go to Him. Anyway, we move along to the last journal prompting. Some people pray the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Would it make a difference in you praying the Lord's Prayer if you said it that way? Explain. It could make a difference. Praying the prayer this way recognizes the truth of the spiritual battle we are in. Instead of believing in a nebulous evil that is just the bad things that happen in the world, praying the prayer this way highlights the malicious spiritual entities and demonic world system that drives it. But it also recognizes God is sovereign and powerful to defeat and punish those forces. He can deliver us from the evil one. To defeat the enemy, we must believe that he is real and that we have the power over him that we receive through Christ. And that moves us along to prayers for the life of faith, which directs us to pray that you will have confidence in the power of God to hear your prayers and deliver you and those you love and care for from the power of the evil one. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that I will have the confidence in your power to hear my prayers and to deliver me and my loved ones from the power of the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear that prayer, Lord. And finally, the prayer for today from today's devotional is, Almighty and merciful God, deliver us from the evil one. Keep me always certain that you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, can deliver me from his power. and give me the confidence that you will hear my prayers and keep me close. Amen. Amen. And that moves us along to today's Bible verses, which come from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verses are 2 Kings 20, 12 through 19. And the Word of God says, "At that time, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to them, 'What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?' So Hezekiah said, 'They came from a far country, from Babylon.' And he said, 'What have they seen in your house?' So Hezekiah answered, 'They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them.' Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, who you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.' So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good.' For he said, 'Will there not be peace and truth at least in my days?'" Wow. It's good. Anyway, I think he missed the point. All your stuff's going to be taken to Babylon, and some of your sons are going to be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That was a true prophecy. That did happen. But it wasn't necessarily because they were going to have peaceful relations. No, they were driven in. They were taken captive. Today's verses fall under the 20th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And it says, that 20th point, King Hezekiah had his priorities turned around. In pride, he displayed earthly riches and was judged for it. Today's verses warn us of the dangers of pride in disclosing too much of our personal treasures to people we don't know. This passage foreshadows the nation of Israel's downfall and Babylonian captivity, and shows us the dangers of how full disclosure can be unwise. I guess I have a measure of pride in my attempts to be honest and transparent. To avoid the dangers of deception, I try to tell the truth and will share details of my past that aren't flattering. While I have been commended for my transparency at times, I have also been judged for it, for both the content of what I have shared and for the simple fact that I shared them. So let Hezekiah foolishly sharing all the details of his fortune be a lesson to you. People covet, and the enemy may lure them into temptation to take what you have shown and use it against you. Ask me how I know. They may try to take what is yours. They may reveal what you have shown to others who are untrustworthy. You know, we are responsible for the things we reveal, and sometimes we don't fully comprehend what we may lose by giving so freely. So be careful out there. Or just prepare for suffering like I do. Anyway, we move along to the last section of today's sharing. As always, we invite you to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors that to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ in their walk. And today we share from Stephen Alford's devotional, According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament. And we've moved on to sharing, through the New Testament to the Gospel of John. In today's reading, you're prompted to read John 1. And from John 1, Stephen Alford shares a portion of John 1:36, which says, "Looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" And Stephen Alford writes, "Here in verse 36, it is not the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but just the Lamb of God. This verse portrays a slightly different aspect of Christ to the truth of verse 29. Again, here it is the Lamb as he walked. The Lamb speaks of absolute submission. If ever there was a submissive creature, the Lamb certainly stands out as the extreme example, submission to the will of God. Absolute selfishness. The Lamb is the picture of absolute humility and selflessness. Such was the character of the Lord Jesus. And absolute separation. The parted hoof of the Lamb pictures and speaks of separation. The path of the Lord Jesus was one of separation. Separate from sinners, says Hebrews 7:26. And Alford closes his devotion with the simple declaration, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And, you know, this is, it's funny, because "Behold, the Lamb of God," we are in Holy Week, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that's what this week's all about, is the journey to the cross, and we celebrate that on Friday, for Good Friday. It wasn't a good day, but it ended with, there was ultimately a good result. The things we couldn't understand about the crucifixion, you know, the loss of Jesus to his disciples and his friends, you know, that was very perplexing. And, you know, how could this happen? But Sunday came, and Christ rose from the dead, and he revealed himself to be the Son of God and God the Son. Through the resurrection. And thus, because he was resurrected, everything he said was true. And so everything in the Word of God that Jesus speaks is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And it's not our job to figure out how it's not true. It's our job to agree that it is true and live according to it. And so we press in and we resist the enemy. And we ask for the Lord to protect us from the evil one. And we try to be wise in what we disclose, because the evil one will come and to do what? To steal and kill and destroy. We're in a battle, and we're not to be afraid. We're to stand in the authority and power we have in Christ and to proclaim his kingdom and to live according to it. So it's such a great season, and very grateful for the opportunity to serve the body of Christ through the Freedom in Christ course that I led for the last 12 weeks, and through the Freedom appointments that I've done, and yet I will be done next, you know, by the end of next week. I couldn't think of a better ending to it, to end at Holy Week, really, and be doing a Freedom appointment on Maundy Thursday, and on after Easter. On Easter Monday, and I don't know, Easter Thursday, I don't know if that's a thing, that's next week. Maundy Thursday once removed, I don't know. But looking forward to it. The men have grown and learned, and they were thankful for what was taught, and I was thankful for their fellowship and, you know, for them giving of themselves so freely. Revealing things that, you know, you wouldn't reveal anywhere else, but you're revealing it to the Lord to not talk about or complain about the past, but to resolve the issues of the past. And we can do that through the Steps to Freedom in Christ. So we recommend that booklet for everyone. It's a prayerful repentance process that takes you through 7 areas of your life where you can surrender to the Lord and walk away free from. So check out the Steps to Freedom in Christ by Neil Anderson. And the Freedom in Christ course that's available online. All those lessons, all the statements we gave today from the Guidelines for a Life of Faith, they come from that last lesson, What's Next. And if you don't know the Freedom in Christ course, we invite you to check it out. We have it on our podcast. We have Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ all on YouTube. And our podcast for your listening enjoyment. And if you contact me via email at mtforchrist247@gmail.com, I would send you the materials that I handed out in class when I taught those things back in 2021. So I guess that's, you know, a throwback to 2021 when I did my community freedom ministry at my local church in Hudson. So anyway, we move on 3 years later. And still doing the podcast, still walking with the Lord and growing in our freedom. And so let's go one more day into it. by praying. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the riches of your grace and for the depths of your mercy that saved a wretch like me and has transformed me through the renewing of my mind and through your word and your spirit. Lord, we pray for you to go before us today. We pray for you to bless the people who might be listening or reading today's message, that you come alongside them in their life of faith and their prayer request. And like I said, go before us today. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see and lead us in the way we should go. Because, Lord, we desperately need your help. We're asking for it. And so, Lord, we just say thank you. We love you. And we praise you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.